Genesis chapter number 3. Am I on here, brother? There we go. Before I read the scripture, I want to say a few things. Let's assume this morning that you're on a journey, all right? You're on a journey, and it's a journey that you have to take. How many of you have ever been on a journey before? Raise your hand, all right? And this journey you have to take, there's no choice. You don't have an option. And when you get on this journey, you're informed that there is a lot of danger on this journey. Much danger. There are landmines that you can run into. There are pits that you can fall into. There's even quicksand that's covered over that you can't see. There is many, many other dangerous, sharp things on this journey that you're not going to be able to see, but they can destroy you. They can kill you. And they're all over on this journey. But they will not be obvious to you. But then all of a sudden, the person that's telling you about the journey hands you a map and says, this shows you where all of those hidden landmines, all of those explosives, all of those pits that you can fall into, all of the quicksand, this will show you exactly where it's all at. So my question to you this morning is, how are you going to treat that map? How are you going to treat that map? Given the fact of what's on that map and what it shows you on this journey that you have to take, will you ball it up and stick it in your pocket? Will you put it up on a shelf? Will you look at it once a week? What will you do with it? Will you give it to somebody else? I would imagine probably not. Knowing that this map can save your life, you would be glued to it. You would be looking at it very carefully. And it would be ever present in front of your eyes all the time, every step you took on this journey, because it's a journey that you have to take. And this journey, it's going to show you where these landmines are at that you cannot see, but the map can show you where they're at. Because this journey can, or this map can save your life and help you get to the other side. Help you get to where you're going. Help you get to the finish line. We are all on a journey called life. Did you know you didn't get to choose if you wanted to be on this journey? You showed up. God put you here and you don't get to decide. You have to be on this journey. And it's a journey you have to take. You don't have another option. If you're alive today, you're on the journey of life. Amen. And it's easy, isn't it? It's an easy life to live. In this journey called life, there are minefields. There are pits. There is quicksand. There are explosive devices, things that come at you at the blink of an eye that you didn't know were there. And they can keep you from finishing your journey of life, keep you from doing what God has for you. God has given you and me a map. Thank God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's given you a map. How many of you feel like you've ever stepped on one of these landmines I'm talking about? Raise your hand, okay? How many of you like when you step on that same landmine again? Raise your hand. No hands or a few hands. The teenagers with the brains are awesome shirts. Raise their hand. But landmines, God has given you a map. He's given me a map, and it is His Word. And His Word is designed to reveal where these pits are at, where these pitfalls are at, where these landmines are at, where the danger is at. Will you decide to ball up, stick it in your pocket, this road, this map? Will you just put it on a shelf, let it collect dust? Will you check it out once a week? And just take your chances on the rest of the days. I got this. I'll check in every once in a while. I'll open it up when I go to church. Now, many in this room have made decisions before that you later dealt with the consequences of that bad decision. Can I see those hands? Raise your hand, all right? If you're a human being, you've made those decisions before. In Genesis 3, we have the strategy of the devil. I want to preach a message called The Devil's Strategic Plan. playbook, the devil's strategic playbook. And his strategy is to bring consequences into your life, and those are negative consequences. Nobody talks about all the good things that Satan brings into their life. I've been talking to men lately over the last few weeks. You know the main thing that gets brought up right now? Brother Nathan knows. Football. Football gets brought up a lot. It's that time of year again. It's the buzz right now. Football season started a couple weeks ago. Some people are crazy about it. Some could care less. Some are just, you know, I'll check in every now and then on it. But right now, I can promise you today's the game day that they're going to be playing games, but I can promise you all week long, they have been, coaches and players have been studying game film. They have been watching film on the enemy. And they have been studying the enemy and trying to figure out what it is that they do, how they can get them to fail so that they can destroy them, so that they can beat them. And they want to learn their tendencies. They want to learn their patterns of how they do things. Satan has game film on you. He has game film on you. He knows your every move. He knows your patterns. He knows your mindset. He knows your sensitivities. He knows your inclinations. He understands you. So there's a report on you and me of how to get you to trip up. You see, that report is different on you than it is on me. Everybody in this room has different weaknesses. Everybody has something that they know could get them to quit, could get them to fall. Alcohol has never been something that's been a part of my life. Not been in my grandpa's, either one of my grandpa's lives, never been a part of my parents' lives. Uncles around me, I never had any uncles drink around me. I grew up in church. Literally from the time I was born, walked into church. So I would say, for me, alcohol is not a temptation. It's not something that the devil is constantly offering me to try to tempt me with. But some of you in this room, you've been around it. You grew up with it. Your mom or your dad. You know, I've worked with bus teams before and said, Brother AJ, what do I do? My parents, they want me to get them beer from the fridge all the time, and I don't want to touch that stuff. Some of you grew up around that. Then when you became a teenager, maybe you enlightened yourself to that. And then one day you finally gave it up. But that's something that you could always fall back on. And Satan knows that's a temptation for you. When you're going through something tough, make yourself feel good by going back to the well. Get that alcohol back. It'll help you feel, it'll help you forget about all those things. We could go on and on about all the different things that the devil can tempt you with. But you know what those weaknesses are. And guess what? So does Satan. He knows. He's not going to tempt me with your weaknesses. He's not going to tempt you with my weaknesses unless we have the same weakness. He has a strategic playbook to deceive you, to get you to quit. And even as a believer, to defeat you and to bring negative consequences in your life. You're on tape, spiritually speaking, and he has studied you. So today I want you to understand his strategy. Because if we can understand his strategy, then we can know how to defeat Satan. We can know how to be prepared for his landmines and how to properly understand them and get past them. No one wants to stand up. Everyone shook their head and says they can't stand when they land on this. They walk on the same landmines that they already made that mistake. Well, today let's learn some things. Let's learn Satan's strategic playbook. And let's figure out, what is he trying to do? How is he trying to trip me up? What is he using? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 3. Let's all stand together. On this journey that you're on, he is going to try to defeat you and trip you up. And I believe in 6 short verses from the beginning of time, we will learn how he started and how he's still working to this day. Verse number 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, pray that you'd help each and every one of us, Lord. We know the devil is after us, and he does not like the fact that we are in church today. Some in here have not been faithful to church, but today they're in church, and the devil's not happy with it. And he will do everything he can to get them not to come back to church next week, Lord. He's going to try to trip them up before they even get started. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn how the devil works this morning and how he's going to try to get us to fail, get us to quit, get us to fall. And I pray that we would use what we learn in this passage, Lord, to help us better understand how he works. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That first verse says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made." Subtle means crafty, sneaky. Subtle means clever or shrewd. The snake, the serpent, was more crafty, was more clever. He was sneaky. He was more slithery than any other creature God had made. So when Satan wanted to make his move, he chose something that would be consistent with what he wanted to achieve. He wanted to achieve craftiness. He wanted to achieve sneakiness. So he chose that type of creature. Satan knows what to choose and who to choose to slither into your world in order to get you your undivided attention. Can I get an amen? Amen. He knows what to choose and who to use to slither his way into your life to get your undivided attention. He knows how to maneuver in just the right way to cause you to have a conversation with him. You see, Eve was a good person. And you would have never thought she would have had a conversation with the devil. Has it ever bothered you that this woman is talking to a talking snake? That ever crossed anybody's mind before? Isn't that interesting? I mean, she's talking to a talking snake. But then you see also she's talking to a walking snake. You say, how is that? Well, the Bible says that the snake after this was cursed and it had to move on its belly the rest of its life. So that means before this, it was walking, all right? So we're talking about a talking, walking snake. And Eve's having a conversation with it, like just a normal conversation, like nothing's crazy about it. And it's going on, and the very first conversation between a human being and a person is about God, kind of, sort of. Read in verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," yea, this is Satan talking, "yea, hath God said," the serpent, "ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He's talking to her. You see, the devil doesn't mind that you're in church this morning. It's not a big deal. He doesn't mind that you're here. He minds if you have a relationship with him. Right. The moment you take what's being preached from God's word and then you use that in your life, all of a sudden, now he's worried about you. Now he's concerned about you. Now you're a target. Now he's someone he wants. Now you're someone he's trying to get to trip up. The creature Satan used to bring death and consequences to Eve and then Adam and then on to the rest of the human race was a creature of whom men and women should have had domain over. God created us to have domain over all these creatures that are around us. Amen? And we were supposed to have domain over them. And the creature, the serpent, was good. It wasn't bad. It was good because the Bible says that everything God created was good. Amen? Everything God created was good. But then this, see, the devil likes to use something good and turn it into bad. The rainbow. The rainbow. Now we as Christians feel guilty all the time if we ever talk about rainbow. Because it's used in such a bad way. Devil always takes God's things and tries to corrupt them. All the time. All the time. So Satan finds something good that men and women should have domain over. And he uses something good to bring something bad. Isn't that how it works in life? It starts off looking good. But once infiltrated with his purpose or his purposes, the devil's purposes, then what was good becomes bad. So his strategy, first of all, number one this morning, is he wants you to miss him. He wants you to miss him. So if you're looking for someone with horns and a red jumpsuit and a pitchfork, you're looking for the wrong guy, because you ain't going to miss that. He's coming after you, but he wants you. He's subtle, the Bible says. He's subtle, and he wants you to miss him. He's going to use something that is good to create something that is bad so you can have consequences. All of those decisions you thought of when I asked those questions earlier, the landmines that you stepped on, bad decisions you've made, you deal with the consequences. The Bible, God's word, what God says, told you not to do it, you did it, what happened? You dealt with the consequences. That is what Satan wants for you. Like an illusionist at a magic show, some of these guys can do spectacular things. And the way that they can get you and me to go, wow, is because as they're doing something over here, they're also doing something over here. In other words, they're trying to get your attention over here so you don't see what they're really all about. Satan's trying to constantly tell you up front, it's good. Don't worry. I'm not going to destroy your future. I'm not going to destroy your life. I'm not going to destroy your kids. I'm not going to destroy your marriage. He's going to be subtle. He's going to be crafty. He's going to be slithery. You see, Satan is a counterfeit. He's got counterfeit doctrine. He's got counterfeit miracles. He's got counterfeit spirits. He's got counterfeit teachers. In order to do one thing, to deceive you and to deceive me. We all know what it feels like to be duped by someone, be tricked by somebody, all right? Some of you have gotten what I've recently gotten in the mail from credit card companies. Congratulations. Congratulations. You have been awarded a $5,000 increase in your credit limit. You are now platinum, sir. We appreciate your business. They want to make you feel good, right? The wording they use is just, man, they want to make you feel good. Who doesn't want to feel platinum-ish, right? I mean, that just feels good. And they know it makes you feel good because, man, you're a preferred customer of ours. We have millions, but you, sir, you, ma'am, you are preferred to us. And they want to make you feel, and me, almighty and worthy to have a higher credit limit. But behind all of that, I know what's behind all of that because I've paid the consequences of what's behind all of that. How many of us have over and over have paid the minimum payment year after year and decade after decade because of what was behind all of it? They made you feel good up front, but then behind it, you're paying all the consequences. Gave you a platinum sense of yourself, you could say. He wants you to miss him. So he uses something crafty but slithery and will even make God a part of the conversation. So he wants you to miss him. What's the second thing? Go to verse number 1 again. It says, and he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? He wants you to think God is holding out on you. That's his strategy. So his first strategy is he wants you to miss him. His second strategy is he wants you to think God is holding out on you. He never references all the other trees that you could eat from. He wants to talk about that one tree that you got a no-no on. And he wants you to focus on that. He doesn't talk about all the freedom that you have in the garden to eat any other tree except one. He wants to paint God as someone who is holding out on you, who's keeping the fun out of your life, who's making it to where you're going to live a boring life because everything out there that is fun, you can't do. And it's not going to be that bad. It's going to be okay. Tell me what you think about it. He asks her a question. He says, I know it's what he said, but he says, it's going to be okay. So when he reduces God's command to all of a sudden then a question, it lessens the impact, right? It lessens the impact because he asked a question. See, God's no's are so we can enjoy his yeses. Did you catch that? God's no's are so we can enjoy his yeses. God's no's, don't eat from that tree. It's so that you can eat from all the other trees. What you're going to find out is when you eat from that one tree, you're going to lose all the other trees. The no's are to protect his yeses. Every tree of the garden, he said, you may freely eat. See, God's all about freedom. You know, this, the Christian life today is, you know, is freedom, 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 is we want all this freedom. God is all about giving you freedom. But he does have some no's. He does have some things that he's trying to protect you from. Because he has the roadmap. He created the roadmap. He knows where the devil has strategically put landmines for you to fail on, to trip up on, to destroy your life. He knows where they're at. So he's trying to tell you, no, don't do that because you're going to have to pay the consequences. He says, I don't want you to do anything physical with the opposite gender outside of marriage. And the devil tells you, man, God's causing you to miss out. Man, you're missing out on stuff. You don't know what you're missing out on. And he gets you to question God. God says no to all these different things in life that the devil tries to create. Drugs and alcohol and smoking. Everyone in this room has seen the consequences. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What looks shiny, all the packaging and all the commercials that they come out with for all this wicked stuff, it's very enticing looking at it. They don't ever show you all the consequences. They don't show you all the homeless people that got hooked on drugs and hooked on alcohol and hooked on all this garbage and now are out just stranded because they're hooked on sin. They don't show you those commercials. The devil doesn't want you to see that. He wants you to see the shiny thing up front. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But behind all of that, God's saying, if you step on that landmine, it's going to blow. It's going to have consequences. You are going to pay for them. Every tree of the garden you may freely eat. God is a big God of freedom. But when he puts a no on something, he puts it there for a reason. It's like that child at Christmas time, your child at Christmas time. You get them presents and they open them all up, but they didn't get one present that they really wanted. How many of you ever had that before? And then they start complaining about that one present and they don't even enjoy the ones that they actually got because they're stuck on that one. Satan is saying, God is holding out on you. He's keeping these strong, but he doesn't want you to enjoy the things of life. I can help you with that. I am here for you. Like the snake on Jungle, or what's it called? The movie? Jungle Book. Trust me. Trust me. That's why I think of Satan in this chapter here. Trust me. And you're watching me. No, don't trust him. Don't trust him. But that's how it is in our life. Satan's saying all these things. He's putting these things. He's putting people in front of you. He's putting good people in front of you, tempting you with the things of this world, trying to get you to fall for it. You've heard it said before, the devil made me do it. How many of you have ever heard that before? I can't remember the guy who made that famous, but some of you probably do remember his name. But let's get one thing straight. The devil doesn't make you do anything. He doesn't have that kind of power. He can't make you sin. He is not all powerful, so he cannot force you to sin. He cannot force you to do anything. And because he can't impose his sin upon you, he starts messing with your mind. And he starts getting your mind corrupted and to think differently than it did before. To get it to think differently than what God's word says. To get you to question God's word. And through that influence by Satan, the decision is yours. And it's not enforced by him. But he pushes it upon you. So we can't blame the devil anymore. He wants you to miss him. And his second strategy is God is holding out on you. But remember, God's whole point of restriction was to enhance freedom. I mean, think about all the trees in the garden. Remember how incredible, I mean, a perfect world. All the freedom that Adam and Eve had. And he said, one no. Think how many no's we have now. And they had one. Like your kids, you tell them no to one thing. That one thing they can't do. What do? They want to go do it. And when you're not looking, they want to go do it. Right now with my daughter Audrey, markers. 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 Oh, I don't know where they come from. I throw every marker I see in our house away. My kids, you're not allowed to have markers, all right? You can go to school, play with markers all you want, but no markers in the house, because Audrey just everything. It's got her signature all over it. Every toy, the wall, everything. And it's just like, Audrey, no. But it's the one thing that is like, I got to have it when they're not looking. And it gets quiet in the house. Audrey, where are you at? Audrey. She throws it and just like starts walking away. It's like, what did she mark? You start looking around. What did she mark? All my kids' toys have markers all over them. Thankfully, I think I have completely gotten rid of all the Sharpies in our house, so most of them clean off pretty easily. But his third thing, go to verse number three real quick. Verse number three. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What he's saying is, number three, don't buy it. Don't buy it. I know that's what he said, but it's not really going to happen. You're not going to die. It's going to be okay. His strategy is God's word cannot be trusted. You can't trust God's word. You're going to be okay. I'm telling you, just trust me. That thing, that Bible was written thousands and thousands of years ago. It doesn't know the struggles. They didn't have technology back then. It doesn't know the struggles that you deal with today. Trust me, it's going to be okay. God's word cannot be trusted. Well, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a what? A liar. Well, the Bible also says in John 8:44, because there is no truth in him, when he speaketh, talking about the devil, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, if he's a father, then he must have some children, right? There's a lot of liars that are coming for you. They're going to talk to you. Satan will use good people to trip you up. Satan will use family members, friends, to tell you a lie, to convince you to do something you shouldn't do. He's a born liar, and he's the father of lies. The devil says, skip past those trespassing signs. No trespassing signs. Just skip past that. It's okay. You're not going to die. You're not, you really think something bad's going to, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be that bad. Some of you in this room have gone through landmines and things in your life. You say, oh, trust me, it's going to be that bad. It's going to be bad. Some of you who are in your 40s and your 50s and 60s that had done some things in your past, you try to sound the warning to these young people saying, don't do it. I did that before. I'm telling you, it doesn't work. And most teenagers these days think they know all the answers and they don't want to listen. And the young people just think, I got to go try it for myself. And those who've already been down that rope and have gone on that and landed on those landmines and fallen in those pits and have hurt themselves are saying, don't listen to the Bible. It's telling the truth. Satan's going to do everything he can to deceive you. There's enough in this room that could testify like that. We've all made those mistakes. I pray that teenagers, listen. They're trying to help you. The rules in your home, in your school, they're to protect you. They're to help you to not step on that landmine, to go this way. They're giving you scripture for a reason. It reminds me of the banker that wanted to go duck hunting, and he shot this duck up in the sky, and as the duck landed, it landed over on this other property, and so on a farmer's property, and he went over to this property and to get the duck, and the farmer was standing right there, and the farmer said, this is my duck, and the banker said, no, I shot that duck, that's my duck. He said, this is my property, this is private property, so that's my duck. And the banker said, come on now, I shot the duck, that's mine. Not today, it's my duck. The banker said, okay, hold on. I've got an idea. How we can resolve this? He said, let me hit you as hard as I can, and you can hit me as hard as you can. We get one shot each. Whoever makes the least amount of noise, whoever screams the loudest or grunts, whoever screams the quietest or grunts the quietest, they get to keep the duck. The farmer said, all right, great. I'll go first. So he goes up. I mean, he just wails back and just pow, just smacks that guy. And that banker makes a little grunt. He comes back and he says, all right, it's my turn. The farmer says, that's all right. You can keep the duck, man. Have a good one. And he takes off. Brother Josh told me that true story. You see, the devil just wants to hurt you. We don't get to hurt him. He just wants to hurt you. He wants to come after you. He wants those of you that have learned, he wants these young people, the young adults, he doesn't want them to listen to you. So he's going to do everything he can to try to corrupt what you're saying to them and get them, you can't be trusted. The Bible can't be trusted. Don't trust them. They have this one flaw in their life. You can't trust them. Don't listen to them. And this is a challenge because we are being bombarded in our world today with wickedness all around. Technology has brought in so much wickedness. And the things that are getting passed in governments these days is just unbelievable. And this leads Satan to his fourth strategy. Go to verse number 5. It says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof," this is Satan talking to Eve. He says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Number 4, he says, God is selfish. God is selfish. He says, look, let me explain why God does not want you to eat from this tree. He doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to be anything like him because he's selfish. He only wants there to be one God. He knows that if you eat of the tree, you're going to be like him. You're going to know as much as him. You'll be smart just like God. You'll be as smart as God. He wants to keep you from being like him. He doesn't want you to be equal when he knows you could be his equal. What was the one thing that Satan, his whole goal was to be equal with God, right? In Isaiah 14. So God doesn't want you to be equal with him. Amen? He doesn't want you to be equal. We are to strive to be like Christ, but we are not on the same level as God by any stretch of the imagination. He doesn't want us to be him. And he says to her, you will be like God. And what was the one thing Satan wanted more than anything else when he rebelled against God? He wanted independence. He didn't want to depend upon God anymore. He didn't want to have to listen to God anymore. And our rebellion is our desire for independence. Young person, your desire as a teenager is independence. Our kids, they keep reaching these ages where they're becoming more dependent. And it's nice, but then it's not nice. You know, sometimes you realize as a parent, you're like, man, I guess I did like when they depended on me for that. Now they don't need that anymore. My daughter Jalen's the oldest and turning 9 here soon. And it's, man, she's getting very independent with a lot of stuff and doesn't need mom and dad with a lot of things. And I'm missing that in her. I get it now in Audrey, but even Audrey, I think, is going to be our most independent kid of all. I mean, she's already getting herself ready, brushing her hair. I mean, doing everything. I'm like, man, our youngest one is growing up. A good thing we're having another one who's going to be dependent upon us. That's what keeps you probably from having kids, is you like to be dependent upon as a parent. Sometimes. And we think as Christians that if we are smart enough, and the devil says, you see, if you're smart enough, then you don't even need God anymore. You have all the answers. He doesn't want that. So he corrupts our mind. And if we're on the same level with somebody at work, they can't be our boss, right? They can't be. We're on the same. You can't tell me what to do. And if we become like God, if man can become like God, if governments can become like God, then we don't need him anymore. And that's what the devil wants us to think, is we don't need God. God is selfish. I remember in the 90s when I was a kid, you remember these commercials? Back in Michael Jordan's heyday, when he was, man, coming on the scene and winning championships, man, they had those commercials, be like Mike. Be like Mike. Everyone wanted to be like Michael Jordan. And so, because every kid wanted to be like Michael Jordan, every parent became broke because they had to buy Jordans for their kids. And they had to buy these tennis shoes to be like Mike. Kids had to get jerseys with number 23 and it said Jordan on the back. They had to get hats of the Jordan brand, had to get t-shirts and shorts. Jordan, I want to be like Mike. I hate to break it to you, but you ain't going to be like Mike. You ain't going to be, you can wear his shoes, but you are not going to be as good as Michael Jordan. You don't have the talent. Christian school kids, I remember getting preached at all the time at basketball tournaments all the time. You know, you guys think you're good. You ain't that good. You're good in your little Christian school and you got a little talent. You may be the best in your Christian school, but there's a whole lot more out there that are a lot better than you. But everyone wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Just because they put his shoes on didn't mean they could fly like him. Didn't mean they could jump like him. The problem is, teenagers these days think they know everything. They've got all the answers. And so they want dependence. They want to be independent. They don't want to depend on mom and dad anymore. And so they start to challenge mom and dad. Parents, if you're in the room, you know this has gone on in your life and in your family's life. And they challenge you. And as a parent, you've established with them pretty quickly. There's two adults in this house. And you ain't one of them. We're making the rules around here. We decide what you can and can't do. You see, they want independence while they're still depending. Right? Give me independence, but can you drive me over here? And because I don't have a driver's license and I don't have a car. Don't tell me what to do, but can you buy me some food over here, Dad? I need this. Don't tell me what to do, can I play basketball this year? Can you pay for my basketball fees? Can you buy me those shoes? Don't tell me what to do, but can you? And it's all these things. They still are depending, but they want both, and they can't have both, right? We're living in a world where Christians are wanting independence, and God is saying, you got it, go ahead. You can be independent all you want, but you're going to live with the consequences. Go ahead. If you want to trust Satan, if you want to trust his ways, I tried to give you a strategic playbook of this is what he's going to do. Here's how you can avoid those things. But if you don't want to listen to me and you want to trust Satan, then go ahead. Do your own thing. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to what I'm trying to say. Muhammad Ali, a true story about him when he was getting on a plane, stewardess came up to him and said, Mr. Ali, I need you to buckle your seatbelt on, put your seatbelt on. And she walked off and she came back and he still didn't have his seatbelt on. She said, Mr. Ali, I really need you to buckle your seatbelt up. And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she said, Superman don't need no plane. Please put your seatbelt on. You ain't all that. I don't care what education you have. I don't care what degrees you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much what car you have, what house you have, what property you have. It does not matter. It does not matter. We will deal with the consequences of Satan. We are not above them. And when we fall into his traps, when he slithers his way into your life and into my life, he tries to get you to trip up. Are you aware of those things? Are you prepared for them? Are you using the map? When the map gets talked about and preached from, and pastor tries to tell you things from Scripture, man, are you listening, daydreaming? What's going on when the map gets talked about? When the Word of God is open and is trying to help you. So many are dying with regret, dying with their relationships, dying with depression. We're dying of things, not knowing those are the consequences of what we did when Satan convinced us. Eat from that tree. It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be all right. His last and final strategy is in verse number 6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. If it feels good, do it. Isn't that our world today? Just be you. If it feels good, do it. Christians want to judge you. Just do it. Be who you want to be. Fulfill those dreams. Doesn't matter if they're God's dreams and what God wants for your life. Just do you. If it feels good, do it. When she saw the tree was good for food. You see, the tree was always good for food. It always had food. And here's what he did. He let her see that tree through his eyes. He let her see that tree through his eyes because now she's looking at it differently than before. Why did she all of a sudden now see that it was good for food? Because evil's been dropped from the conversation. Isn't that what he does? The things that he presents to you, he doesn't show you the evil. Like we talked about in the very beginning, He doesn't come out and tell you it's going to destroy your life. It's going to hurt your marriage. It's going to hurt you as a father. It's going to hurt you as a mother. It's going to destroy you. He doesn't tell you that. So he removes evil out of the equation, and he takes something good and uses it for evil. Isn't that how deception works? He wants to erase what you see as bad, what you've been preached to, what the man of God has told you is evil, what the Bible has said is evil. He wants to erase that from your memory so that all you see is good. It's like Nietzsche, that philosopher, remember years ago, he came out. In his mind, man has become so smart. He says, we have become so educated. He said, God is dead. Signed, Nietzsche. Well, then he died a few years later. And someone made the sign and says, Nietzsche is dead. Signed, God. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. You see, I'm all for recognizing people for their greatness. Man, they're great at sports. They're great at this. Well, we've made celebrities in America, we've made them American idols. We have made them gods in our life. Doesn't matter that they're strung out on drugs. It doesn't matter that they take drugs to survive. Doesn't matter that they have terrible marriage. They've been in 5 or 6 marriages. They don't care about their kids. Doesn't matter all that stuff. It doesn't matter that they take God's name in vain all the time. They're just really good at singing. I like them. I'm a big fan of them. I cheer them on. Man, we're cheering for the wrong people. We're looking up to the wrong people. If I had to boil it down to one thing we struggle with the most, it's discernment. It's discernment. I see it all the time over on social media, all the time. Discernment. Man, the things that people will like. I don't understand people that will like something on social media that has worldly music on it. Go ahead and show me Bible verses where it's okay, where you think that's okay. When you're liking something, I mean, key word, if we all understand what like means, all right? It means, in simple terms, you like that, all right? You like that. You approve of that. Got worldly music. It's got cuss words in it. Why are we giving any attention to that? Why are we letting people know, man, if someone's going to post that, don't encourage it. Don't encourage it. All you're doing is enabling them and helping them further down this road that Satan's got people on. Don't encourage that. You know, you're also a stumbling block. When young people see you post things on your social media or you like things on social media and the whole world can see those things and they see what you're doing, you can be a stumbling block to them because, they listened to that or they posted that. I guess it's okay, man, if they do that and they do that, and then young people start basing things upon what you're doing rather than upon what the Bible says. Don't be a stumbling block. We get so impressed with the front stuff. And that's what Satan wants. He's presenting the shiny things up front to you and to me, and we don't remember what's in the back stuff. We don't remember all the consequences. And that's one thing that spiritual people, the Bible says, when we get in God's word and we get close to God, and this is a map that in our life is used on a daily basis. It doesn't get set on a shelf. Doesn't get thrown in a box. Doesn't get read once a week when we come to church. It's something that is crucial to our life. Something that we know our life is dependent upon it. Not whether or not we just live, but how successful we are, how blessed we come, how blessed my family will become is dependent upon this thing. Where is it at in your life? Do you treat it like your life is on the line? Is that how you treat it? Because the devil would love for you to not use this thing. The devil would love for you to say, well, he loves it when Christians use the phrase, I just don't understand it. I have a hard time understanding it. The devil was there saying, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You're not going to be able to understand it. That's, you know, some of the words in there are, you know, you shouldn't put any extra effort into understanding the Bible. We've got people all over the world today that are giving their decisions to the devil without even realizing it. And they think life is great. And that landmine's about to explode. Those consequences are about to be dealt with. They're about to live with those things. But spiritual people, they aren't faked out. You're not faked out. If you come to church, man, you got a relationship with God. You're not faked out. Because the Bible says that God gives us spiritual discernment of what is good and what is evil. Those of you that have been coming to church, you say, I just started coming to church faithfully over the last year or 2 years. You say, man, since I've been coming to church and I've been getting close to the Lord, all of a sudden my eyes are starting to be open to the things of this world. It's because God is there helping you. God is giving you spiritual discernment because we, as Christians that are reading God's word, we're not eating of the tree of independence. We're eating out of the tree of life. Amen? We're eating out of the tree of life. God said in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It doesn't mean you're going to drop dead physically. It means something is going to die. So Satan's strategy can be boiled down to one word, deception. Deception. Some mischievous boys, with this I'll close, mischievous boys that were working at department store thought it would be funny to take all, this is a true story, thought it would be funny to take all of the tags off of the cheap clothing and switch them with the tags of the expensive clothing. So all the expensive items were put, the tags were put on the cheap items, all those cheap items, their tags were taken off, putting on the expensive items. And people were coming in. Some people only buy things if they have a high price tag. Have you ever saw Payless did a prank, okay? Payless shoes, okay? High quality shoes. I mean, some of the best that money can possibly buy. Payless shoes did a commercial, or did a video, you can look it up, where they made an actual store in the mall look extremely fancy. They took one of their Payless malls, I mean, just completely redesigned it. And I mean, they had shoes on a pedestal, you know, on a nice fancy pedestal. And just all over in their store. I mean, just, you look like you're walking in a store that was just expensive stuff. Store I would never walk into. And they had price tags on Payless shoes. People didn't know they were Payless shoes. Because Payless doesn't put Payless, you know, on the side of their shoes. They just don't, because that, no one wants to buy it. They want it to look like the nice ones, but not say Payless on them. And so they put all these Payless shoes in, $600, $500. And people, they got video of people just coming in like, wow, these are so nice. I love them. I'm getting them. And people are buying them like left and right. They just for like an hour. And they were letting people know as they were, after they purchased, like, this is just a total prank. This is a $1,999 shoe that you just bought for $600. People are like, what? Like, yes. They were deceived. They were deceived. These boys were taking the price tags on the cheap stuff, put it on the expensive stuff, and the expensive stuff on the cheap stuff. So people were buying the cheap stuff at an expensive price. You see what Satan's done to us is he switched the tags. He switched the tags, and what we are spending a high price on is the cheap stuff that God has said, you don't want that. That is not quality. That is not something that is valuable in your life. But we are paying a high price for it. We are paying for the consequences that come with those things. God just wants to help you. I challenge you this morning to get closer to the Lord and look at these six verses. And this is from the beginning of time and how Satan first came in and tried to deceive people, how to deceive Eve with his strategic playbook. And he's still using it today on you and on me. I pray that you will study that. I pray that you will use what you heard today from God's word, how to be prepared, how to use the roadmap that God has given us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a powerful truth, Lord, from Eve's. I hate that she had to be the example for us, Lord, but Lord, I know that you put it in scripture for us to listen to watch, and to see how not to be deceived by Satan. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand how sneaky and slithery the devil is. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to get in your word. Lord, the people that are here today that don't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, Lord, I pray they would take care of that. Satan would love for them not to have a spiritual birthday. He would love to not have someone else to worry about. You see, he's not worried about all these people that aren't serving the Lord. He's not worried about the people that aren't going to heaven. He's worried about the ones that are making a difference in this world. He's worried about someone who's come to church today who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. He's worried about that person. He's worried that they came to church, heard from God's word, and heard the truth, and are going to get saved today, Lord. I pray that you would work on their heart this morning. I pray that you would help them to make that decision to get saved. I remember the day I got saved. I remember the day that my dad opened up the Bible and asked me, "Son, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die?" And I said, "No, Dad, I don't know." And he said, "Son, let's go back to the truck." And he led me to the Lord. He showed me from the Bible how I could know 100% for sure I was going to heaven. And I remember that day like it was yesterday. I hope and pray that if there's someone here that does not know that, doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, that this morning they would not leave this building, would not leave this place until they talked to somebody and made assurance of that salvation. As the piano plays, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there someone here this morning that would say, "I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't want Satan to be happy with my life. I want to know, I want to make sure that I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior." If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand, please, this morning? No one's looking. No one's looking. If that's you, and I don't know for sure, would you just raise your hand? Someone, one of us could show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die.